People who'd have you believe that books are dangerous and assault rifles are safe. That there's a right way to worship and a wrong way to love. People who seek first to divide and then to conquer. But here's the thing. When we stand together, it is impossible to conquer us. In the words of an extraordinary American, the late Congressman John Lewis, he said, "No matter what ship our ancestors arrived on, we are all in the same boat now."
All right, that was Oprah Winfrey, who surprised everyone at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago by appearing and speaking. The one thing that you can pick up from Oprah, if you listen to her, if you're not so in love with her that you can't be objective, I'm not in love with her. I think she's done a great deal of damage. She is a racist. She doesn't act like it. When she used to do her show, I think it was primarily white women who were kind of wacky over Oprah. It's just strange. But that when she's talking about, you know, if we stick together, you know, we will win or we will survive. They can't touch us. She's talking about black people. She closes with John. And she starts her speech. I mentioned this on a previous podcast. She starts her speech, "I always voted my values, and that is what is needed in this election now more than ever. I'm telling you the truth that values and character matter most of all." You know, I'll mention one more time, I learned about Oprah many, many years ago when I saw her movie, because I used to really like her. I'm from Chicago. I remember when she started. I went to see her movie, Beloved, which she wrote, produced, and acted in, and it was the most depraved. It was full of Satanism and all kinds of just debauchery. That was Oprah's movie. That, I guess, as far as I can see, is her values. But I guess that would work when you consider, now this is hard to hear, I know this, but when you consider, you know, Joe Biden is supposed to be such a nice guy, but Joe Biden's not a nice guy. Years ago, the Secret Service, the women were asking him, please not to swim in the nude. They're guarding him. And he refused to listen to them, just kept swimming. His daughter Ashley was in counseling and left her diary behind. And her diary was found and turned over and it was made public. And Ashley, who'd introduced him at the convention, talks about in her diary about how her father showered with her and how traumatic it was. I don't know what values these people have. What are those values? And then, of course, we have Bill Clinton, who spoke the same night that Oprah did. And we know we have pictures of him getting a massage from one of Jeffrey Epstein's victims. Her name was Shanti Davies. And he was on the Epstein's plane, the pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. What do they call that? The pedophile island? He went there 27 times, Bill Clinton did. So I'm not sure what values she's talking about, but I just felt the need to set the record straight and pretty much, if I can, draw the line on what values we're talking about here. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Let me remind you that abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. And sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why the need for preborn. Preborn reaches the moms to show them their babies inside the womb via these ultrasounds. They reach them not only to save the life of the baby, but also save the heart and sometimes the life of the mother herself. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, Truth Social. You can find us on YouTube also. Sometimes we do things on camera. You can go to AFR.net and listen to the podcast. That is Home Base American Family Radio. You can go to SandyRios.com and find it, or you can go to any podcast platform. All right, well, today is like a potpourri of news and things that are happening coming out of the convention and the election. And I hope you'll stay tuned to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. All right, Sandy Rios back with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, in the opening, I was talking about values. I was talking about Oprah saying she votes for values and that integrity is so important and values of the candidates. And I was trying to make a case that I don't see. The values are different. Her values are different. And so are the candidates' values, different than most of us, certainly from American values, which have been biblical values. But there was a gentleman that was interviewed at the convention. And the reason I'm playing this, I want you to see how different, I would call it twisted. This is a great big guy who is very animated, and he's being interviewed. And this is, just listen carefully. He's a white dude for Kamala. That's how he introduces himself. Let's listen.
What brought you out here today? Now, listen, my name is Noah Shorts. I use he, they pronouns. Like, I'm just really excited that we have, like, the first Black woman that could be the president of the United States. And you know, like my wife, right? We're in a polyamorous relationship. The lover that my wife took is African American. And like, I've learned so much about the struggle that people of color go through as a result of my wife's boyfriend. And so I'm excited to really do my part and show solidarity for my marginalized communities. And like, the best way to do that is to get the first woman of color to be the commander in chief. And I'm really excited. I'm so pumped.
Were you this pumped and excited when Joe Biden was the nominee?
I mean, listen, like, I would vote for a corpse over voting for Donald Trump because he's a disgusting fascist white supremacist pig. But now, like, you know, we get to really make history. We have, you know, like I said, we have the first woman of color to be president of the United States. And like, you know, our country, it was founded on the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in Kamala Harris, there's nothing embodies those values more than a Kamala Harris presidency. So I'm pumped. Like, I'm ready. You know, I am so excited. I'm a proud white dude for Kamala Harris, baby. Let's go. Woo!
All right, I don't know if you could catch that. But he gives his name and he said, I use he, she, he, they pronouns. My wife and I, we're in a polyamorous relationship. You know what that is, right? It's not a husband and a wife. It's three people or more. It's more than polyamorous. And I've learned so much from my wife's boyfriend, who's Black, about the oppression. And then he says, were you just as excited about Joe Biden? And he says, well, I'd vote for a corpse over this disgusting fascist pig Trump. Yeah, so that's what he would do. He thinks that Trump is a disgusting fascist pig, but he thinks that Kamala Harris is, she's wonderful. She'd be the first Black president. And he's very excited about that. And then he goes on to tell us that America was founded on diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is the thing that's being introduced in colleges and corporations that's just turning the world upside down. Talks about white privilege, divides people by color, race. It's so destructive. And many corporations are actually backing away from it. But he thinks we were founded on that. Okay, so that's the kind of person, that's one of the many kinds of persons that was in that a building who holds those values. And to them, Trump is a disgusting fascist, disgusting pig. All right, I want to just give you a clip of Kamala Harris. This was when she was prosecutor in California. And I fascist kind of came to my mind as I listened. This is a clip five, Kamala Harris.
The power I have as a prosecutor is that with a swipe of my pen, I can charge someone with a misdemeanor, the lowest level offense possible. And by virtue of that swipe of my pen, you will have to go to a courthouse and stand in line. You will have to come out of pocket and hire an attorney. You may get arrested for a few hours. You will be embarrassed in your community. You will miss time from coming onto the Google campus. All because with the swipe of my pen, I've charged you with a crime, which I may choose to dismiss 2 weeks later. It's an incredible amount of power. And you want to make sure that the people who have this kind of power are taking seriously the responsibility in terms of understanding, as much as anything, the impact on the people who will be affected by that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, and so I'm sure she's very sensitive. We know what her history is in California. She was very hard, as a matter of fact, on black criminals initially. And then as it became politically correct, she started, embracing the lawless mode of doing, being a prosecutor and letting people out. We know who she really hated. That was David Lyden with a stroke of her pen. The young man who did those undercover Planned Parenthood videos. She nearly destroyed him. Of course, the story's not over yet, but fined him several hundred thousand dollars, seized his computer, his intellectual property, had him tied up in court for years, and he still is. All because he exposed Planned Parenthood. So we know what she uses, the swipe of her pen, but I'm sure that's just fine with the white guy for Kamala. He had more comments to say, and let's just listen. This is part two.
Have you seen any excitement at a Democratic event like in this stadium?
No, listen, this it is amazing. You know, like, you can't generate. I couldn't see any more excitement. Like, the only way there could be any more excitement is if, you know, maybe you had like an artist or a celebrity performing or opening for Kamala. But no, this is amazing. This is like celebrity level of excitement. This is a rock star. And then, you know, like, the thing that I'm the happiest about when it comes to Kamala Harris presidency, it's the economy. And, you know, I'm really excited about how she finally wants to put a cap on prices at the grocery store. And, you know, like, look, even if price controls, you know, may lead to, like, shortages of food and basic goods, you know, the shortages will lead to rationing. And rationing, that leads to equity. And we need to be a more equitable place in America to dismantle our legacy of white supremacy. So thank you so much for hearing my voice and so many voices like me.
Okay, so white guy for Kamala. Let's see. Oh, this is amazing. This is so exciting. I can't think of anything. The only thing you could do that's more exciting is, you know, have an artist or a celebrity come and perform. So they did have Stevie Wonder on, I believe, that very night that he spoke. So, yeah, they're using artists and celebrities. And actually, with Kamala's events, they're bringing in famous. When they were at Atlanta, they brought in the top rappers and blues artists, one girl twerking with her partner on the stage. Yeah, that's what they did, and that's how she's been filling her arena. So I guess that generated more excitement. And then she says, I love Kamala's presidency, especially on the economy. So I'm going to give you an idea of what Kamala's doing on the economy. Let's listen to what CNBC had to say about something that happened just a few days ago. Clip two.
You know, the range of how many jobs they would take away for a variety of reasons, maybe the largest is the birth-death model for businesses, was going to be somewhere between 350 and 1,000 and 1 million. It comes in at 818,000.
All right, so here's the deal. That's probably not clear, but that's the jobs report that just came out. It came out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and that's Joe Biden's bureau. If Joe... Where, Joe, are you still there? I don't know. Kamala's bureau. She's the vice president after all. So here's the interesting part. President Trump came out and responded to that. And then I'm going to read you an official statement by the Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, the Secretary of Commerce for President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. But first, this is President Trump on this same story about the loss of 818,000 jobs. Let's listen.
Before we begin, I want to address the massive scandal around the revised job numbers that were just announced this morning, a little while ago, just before I came up, I got to see them. And it really isn't a revision. It's a total lie. Total lie. There's never been any revision like this. They wanted it to come out after the election, but somehow it got leaked. It got leaked. Government leaks too. The Harris-Biden administration has been caught fraudulently manipulating job statistics to hide the true extent of the economic ruin that they've inflicted on America. The new data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that the administration padded the numbers with an extra, listen to this one, 818,000 jobs that don't exist. So they said they existed, and they never did exist. They built them up so that they could say what a wonderful job they're doing. No, we've never had numbers like this.
Okay, so that you say, oh, that's President Trump, and I've heard it from friends, so he can't be trusted. I believe he can be trusted, but let me read from a different source. This is the Daily Wire. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo was called out during a live interview on Wednesday for falsely suggesting that Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump made up numbers that were released earlier in the day by President Joe Biden's Bureau of Labor Statistics. And that was the statement that Trump just made. So Gina Raimondo is saying, oh, he made those up. Well, here we go. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that job growth through the 12 months ending in March would be revised downward. In other words, what's on the books, what the administration has been claiming, will be revised downward by 818,000 jobs, which is a drop that's equivalent to a 0.5% of total jobs. That's the largest downward revision in decades. But it goes on. When asked during an ABC News interview whether the damaging jobs report could hurt Democrat presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris' campaign, Raimondo responded, ready? No, when I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I have never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful. So she can't say anything different about the numbers. So she just says it's Donald Trump exaggerating. But this is actually from, in fact, the ABC News host actually said, it is, though, from the Bureau of Labor. And Raimondo said, I'm not familiar with that. So this is Kamala Harris's Commerce Secretary. Nobody believes that Joe Biden is our president right now. Nobody in their right mind. And I have to tell you, this has real effects on people. And this, I'm going to play this next clip. This is a girl, a black girl, very pretty girl who's sitting in her car. She's talking into the camera, and she's a businesswoman. And this is what she's experiencing under the Biden-Harris administration. Clip four.
I need this message to go out to our vice president who's running for president. I have heard all over social media about, excuse me if I say anything wrong, immigrants getting loans, money. It was hard for me to believe. It was just extremely hard for me to believe. I've been in business such a long time. Back in 2019, I purchased my first food truck. It cost me over $25,000. I paid it cash money. I worked hard to pay for this truck. I'm now selling it because I'm doing other things, but I'm selling it. I had a guy come to look at purchasing my vehicle or my food truck. And he explained to me he's an illegal immigrant. He has no credit. He has no money in the bank. But he showed me his paperwork that he will receive funds to purchase my food truck. I'm thankful that he's buying it, but I'm hurt that I work so hard to pay cash for my food truck. I have good credit, can't even get a business loan because of the color of my skin. I have veterans in my family, I'm a veteran. I've been self-employed for so long, but somebody, please tell me, how do I work so hard to have somebody who comes to this country, not long, no credit, and he shows me paperwork where they'll be funding him money to buy my food truck? And when I talk to the bank, they told me usually they have to go straight to a dealership because, you know, I'm a private sale. But for special circumstances, they're going to, you know, they allow it. But I need my president to tell me why I worked so hard all these years, all these decades. Couldn't get a business loan, but I bust my ass to get the money to create my business. And we got immigrants coming here. And they're getting money. Money! We're doing nothing but just being here. It's not right, and I want answers.
Well, this is Kamala and Joe Biden's economy. And this is what it's doing to people. And you'll notice that Kamala, the white guy for Kamala, he says at the end of that second clip that it was good. She's going to bring on price controls, which will cause shortages and rationing. And that's all good because it will bring equity. Now, listen to me. Equity has to do with color and race. Somehow, anybody that didn't have as much as other people, the people that have what they have are supposed to give up their, or they're going to take it. Kamala will, with her pen, take people who've worked hard, like this girl who is black. She's not white. They're going to take what she has and give it to someone who doesn't have it. That is communism, and that's what they're doing. It has nothing to do with equity. And interestingly enough, black voters, black Americans are waking up. I have seen so many clips like what I'm going to play you right now. This is Benny Johnson. Benny went into the south side of Chicago and actually in Barack and Michelle Obama's neighborhood and interviewed neighbors. And you got to hear this. Clip one.
I'll go for Trump. I'll go for Donald Trump.
Me too.
I'll go for Trump.
Who are you voting for in 2024?
Trump too.
And why is that, ma'am?
He the best president ever.
Has Barack Obama done anything for around here? And
he
these
never did anything since he been in office.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he out. Trump the best.
Barack Obama, man, I ain't got no message to him. I don't mess with Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm a Trump supporter. Trump do more for black people and care more about black people. And Barack Obama ain't black. Just to let that be known.
All right. What about Kamala Harris?
I don't fuck with her either. Yeah. All Trump. Trump all day.
Yeah. What's your message to Donald Trump today?
Keep going. Keep going. Come get us, man. We waiting on you.
I'm a Trump supporter, man. We gonna keep this going. Trump, he a real businessman. I'm a real Republican, man. I want Trump back in office second term.
What would be your message to Barack Obama?
I don't know. Pump some money in here. Pump some money like Trump, you know?
Your message to Donald Trump?
Come on, man. Get us to the Super Bowl, bro. Make America great, man. That's all I can say. Make America great.
All right. Well, Benny Johnson is a conservative. So you say, well, maybe he just found these guys, these black gentlemen and neighbors, Barack Obama, and just handpicked them. So maybe that's not reality. Well, here's Don Lemon. Don Lemon, formerly of CNN, who is as racist as they come, who hates President Trump. And he goes out and asks questions himself. This is primarily black women. There's one white woman in the exchange, but let's listen. Clip three.
How are you feeling about the election?
I'm going for Trump. I feel like every time they don't want somebody who is good for us to win, they throw somebody black in our face thinking that's going to, like, make us vote for the black person.
I voted for Obama because he was black. I don't want to vote for her because she's the first black woman to run for president or to win.
I don't vote.
Well, I want Donald Trump. I'm sorry. I want Donald
Trump.
Why
do you apologize?
Well, I know nobody likes him, but we had good times with Donald Trump.
I'm running for Trump, so.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why?
Yeah. I don't know. I just always been fan of his, so that's what I'm running for.
I used to be against Trump. I used to live in Virginia. I saw the bad side of it, but really moving to Cleveland, but I saw the other side of it.
I'm supporting Trump.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Because?
Because it has to change.
Yeah.
It has to change, and now I vote more for what fits me better as a person rather than voting for the black person or voting for the first woman. So.
What do you think about Kamala Harris?
I think they say she's phony and fake, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I'm like Trump saying, you know, what are you? You know, so I'm not feeling her. People get mad about it. I'm just not feeling her.
I don't like her, the way she speaks, the giddiness, the laughing. Everything's a joke, and it's not a joke. We're in trouble.
I'm going for Trump. Kamala was on Biden's team, and I don't like Biden. Gas wasn't this high when Trump was our president. Food wasn't this high. I'm going for Trump.
All right. Well, that's Don Lemon's interview with black voters in Chicago. Pretty amazing. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing a lot of these. I'm seeing post after post after post. Well, I have some more things that are relevant, I think, to all of us that are followers of Christ, regardless of color. And I want to share those right after this.
Get your popcorn, grab some friends, and get ready for the 1A Film Fest live stream event September 13th, 14th, and 15th. Everyone enjoys movies, so invite your friends and neighbors over for a live stream watch party. We are bringing you 12 amazing documentaries, which together tell the most powerful and complete story ever told. By exercising the First Amendment and using the power of film, and just in time before the election, prepare yourself for the most educational, entertaining, and emotional live stream event of the year, all for only $25. Don't miss this. Go to 1AFilmFest.com for your live stream ticket. Help us spread the word and educate America. That's 1AFilmFest.com. 1AFilmFest.com.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. That was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures, all for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at afr.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
If Kamala Harris was here right now, what would you tell her?
You're cooked. You were in charge of the border for the past 3 years, and where have you been? I don't even think you ever went. All I see you at is rallies with Megan Thee Stallion twerking out to vote, saying that you're going to get the economy in place, but you've had the past 3 years to do it. You literally aren't doing anything. I want to also tell you this. You're not black. You're Indian. And for you to try and sit here and pander, depending on what election year it is and who it is that you're talking to, is outrageous. You're going to Georgia, you're going to Atlanta, and you're changing the way that you speak because you think that people are dumb enough to not see through that. You've destroyed our economy. You've destroyed our border. You are literally the softest person on crime that I've ever met. supporting defunding the police, raising money for BLM, violent rioters and looters in 2020, you are dangerously liberal. You are far left. You are the sole reason that our country is being destroyed. Joe Biden has no idea what's going on, and you've been the VP. You've been pulling the puppet strings associated with the donors and the bureaucrats and this small group of people that want to destroy our country. So Kamala, I would tell you, give it up. You're cooked. There's no chance you win unless you try and rig the election again, but you can't because there's too much support now. Trump is going to win, and he's really the only chance we have at saving our country. I'm going to be voting for the first time ever. Everyone watching this should vote. Make sure you make your voices heard. And go Trump 2024.
All right. That's a Gen Z or a young guy. He was white. And so, you know, why do we have to say this? Because they keep pushing race on us. And so we can get past this. God willing, we will become more united. I kind of sense that we will. I honestly do. I mentioned before at this mic, maybe the morning show, that we've seen this increase in racism. When Barack Obama got elected, he was going to stamp out racism, but he made it worse. And I think he made it worse on purpose because the communist method of taking control is to divide people. And I think they did a beautiful job of that. But I can see that we are becoming, I think the core of America is becoming united as we realize it has nothing whatsoever to do with race. We have so much in common. We live here. We raise our kids here. What happens in our streets with our police, with our education system affects us all, our healthcare system. And so if we can make our way through this mess, God willing, we can find a point of agreement, and especially those of us that are believers. And I want to talk about that for a second, because I hear so often, too often, that Christians, I hear pastors who don't want to say anything. They don't want to say anything. They just are staying neutral. And I hear Christians who say they can't vote for Trump because of, you know, he says bad things about people. And I've addressed this before, trying to think of new ways to address it. I would just say that what we are facing is so wicked and so evil. A time for choosing. It is a time for choosing. And I don't see how in the world a Christ follower can choose to embrace abortion for all 9 months, vasectomies free, the lack of respect for life, debased and immoral practices and things that hurt people. That's also immoral. If you take away people's resources, like that young black girl who owned the food truck, that's immoral too. Government should not be stealing from the people. That's not a government that we've had in this country. We probably had bits of, we've had corruption, I'm sure, from the very beginnings because people are corrupt. But for the most part, our government has been our friend and they have helped us. And they have really worked to help the people. But I want to give you a couple of last things to think about here. Nearly a quarter of the U.S. adult population self-identifies as evangelical Protestants. And according to an analysis of the Cooperative Election Study, Trump won 78% of the white evangelical vote and 32% of the non-white evangelical vote in 2016, and 80% of white evangelical votes, 34% of non-white in 2020. So, but the problem is that Christians, American Christians, don't vote, especially white Christians. I don't know about the black, often black Christians vote for Democrats. I do believe that's changing. But, and it's talked about in their churches. In Chicago, anyway, black pastors were given a pass. They could speak about politics. They could have, candidates in their pulpit, and no one ever brought any charges or regulation violations to them. They just didn't. But white churches have really held fast to that Johnson rule, which I don't have time to explain. It was passed in the 50s. Lyndon Johnson pushed it because he felt like the churches had been the reason why he lost, and he was still in Congress, so he pushed this piece of legislation that would make it an IRS violation if pastors endorsed a candidate in the pulpit. So white churches, you know, went overboard so that pastors are scared to death to say anything, but some of them. There are very few who do. So here's something that a friend of mine sent me, and this is from someone in her Bible study. And this is what it says. It's Faithful America is the name of the organization writing this. Faithful America hasn't typically gotten involved in elections. It's, by the way, directed to Faithful America member. But this election is different. As Christians, We seek to follow Jesus' teachings of love, peace, equality, and social justice. And Donald, dictator on day one, Trump, is one of the biggest threats to those values that our country has ever faced. If he is elected, he has promised mass deportations, persecution of political enemies, and harmful new attacks on the freedoms of women, LGBTQ Americans, and racial and religious minorities. He's even doing it in Jesus' hijacked and distorted name, with far-right white evangelical Christians as a driving force behind his campaign. And then they talk about what they're doing. They're doing drives, prayer vigils. They have merchandise Christians against Trump. But they're working really hard under the guise of faith and Christianity to make sure Donald Trump does not win and that Kamala Harris does win. On the other hand, we have Charlie Kirk. Charlie just recently hosted a conference in Dallas, and his message to them was that pastors need to vote for Donald Trump. They need to become activists, and they need to mobilize their congregations to do likewise. He says self-righteous complaining about Trump's tone is no excuse, and I agree with Charlie. We are about to lose our country. Your children will have the most horrendous future if we elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and the other people that's still on that stage. Do you see? Don't you see what they have in mind for us? They are about the destruction of Israel. The Biden administration just lifted the sanctions on Iran. Iran is the number one supporter of terrorism in the world. That's immoral. That's immoral. They have built up Iran, made it possible for them to build up these terrorist organizations in order to attack Israel, we know. But they're in our borders now, too. Really, are you going to sit by and do nothing while all of this is happening? You cannot go untouched. I'm telling you, pastors, your churches will be empty because it's your people who will be attacked. They will have their resources taken. It's not going to be quick. It'll probably be slow, like a slow death. Their resources will be taken. Your resources will be taken. You won't have anything to run a church on. Your buildings will have to close. If I have to be practical like that, if it's not enough to tell you that that's immoral, what they're entertaining, then I'll tell you that way. You're going to have to fire your pastoral staff. You're going to have unemployment. It's going to be, and your children will be thrown to the wolves more than they are now. Really? You can't do anything. You don't want to do anything. You think it's wrong to support Donald Trump because of his language, because he says bad things about people. You have to look at what a man does, not at what he says. And you can't hold a man who's not a believer to the standards of the Christian. You can't do that. I think of Timothy. I think it's Timothy, or Galatians. Galatians 3 through 5, something like that, 5. And where Paul writes, remember that you too were once afar off. You too. There's stuff in your life. There's sin in your life. Don't hold Donald Trump to the standard that you yourself cannot meet. Many of you are forgiven and you live a better life. Well, we don't know what's happening in his heart. I hope he came to Christ when he got shot. I can't say that for sure. But I'm just telling you, we are going to lose our country if you don't get involved. Pastors, I'm begging you. Go to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk's got some great information. Go to Liberty Pastors with my friend Paul Blair, former Chicago Bear. He has all kinds of help for pastors on how to get involved. So, and Christians, too. So I think I'm done. I want to thank you for listening to today's edition. And by the way, you know you can call us. I bet there'll be lots of thoughts about today. Call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. And I want to thank you and thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan is our newest sponsor. You can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. You know you can listen to the show on any podcast platform. I want to remind you again to sign up for Twitter. You can go on any social media platform and find stuff from us, but Twitter is the best. It's @SandyRios. Tweet, that's what they call a handle. And I suggest that you do that. Well, I hope that you'll give prayerful consideration to what you should be doing right now in this time of crisis. What would God have you do? I've told you what I think, but you need to seek Him. Seek Him. And then do something. Say something, do something. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.